Good morning, St. Paul's.
Good morning.
So, we don't need a clap. I don't know what to do. Okay. So, we are live streaming and we are live. Isn't that awesome? All right, so no more clapping for them as they work on all their camera angles. So, just so you know, there's a camera in the middle on the back on the balcony railing. Camera there and a camera there because we want a camera on Bob when he plays. Bob says no. And they rotate fully, so they're going to have some fun with it back there. And I'll make a formal announcement, an email out to everyone to know that the live stream's up. So if you're sick or, you know, you can't make it, you can log on and watch us live. All right. So let me start with today's altar flowers are to the glory of God and are sponsored in honor of Sally Ann Garner, who dearly loved this church and congregation for over 60 years and is presented by her family. Now, we have some little ones helping us in the service today. They're not helping us, they are part of the service. I'm sorry. So, some kids will be, I think you met them, they made you take a bulletin, right? And they will be doing the ushering. They will be doing the offering. You're a little young yet. Acolyte. Now, when they do the offering, again, just give them a little grace because they're learning. And, oh, I do want to say that next Sunday, the 28th, after worship, we will be having a congregational meeting. And we'll be over in the Sunday school room. If you attend, you're welcome to come. And we're going to continue our talk about who we are, where are we going, how are we doing that. There will also be something that we actually have to vote on. We have three new candidates for our leadership team. And that requires, now that we're who we are, that requires a congregational vote. And we'll introduce them and let you know, and I'll send an email out about that too. So next Sunday after church, we'll be over in the Sunday school room. And I think that's about it. So. the please stand as you're able. Let us begin our worship service. Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let us worship the Lord, who is our shepherd.
The Lord restored our life.
Surely God's goodness and mercy surround us.
And we dwell in God's house forever.
I ask you to please remain standing for our opening song, Hallelujah. And as we sing that, the kids will come around to pick up any of your prayer concerns or joys that you fill out on the white cards. Did you know there is really great theology about the acolytes? So I'm sure some of you do. And as a reminder, the light, the flame, represents the light of Christ. And we start worship with the light coming in, because the light of Christ lives in the world. And for an hour, it is here now. Not that it's still out there, but. And then at the end, which I think is even more important, what do we do with the light? We take it from the candles and we take it back out into the world. And that is the theology. Isn't that cool? All right, so we come now to the time of the sharing our prayer concerns and our joys. And it seems like we got a lot of people breaking bones. You guys need to stop that, okay? So, first of all, from Lori Barth, she has two co-workers battling cancer. Bill Wise is doing well and recovering from his surgery. Joni Horn is still recovering from breaking her arm. So continue prayer concerns for Ruth Paulus. She fell and broke her shoulder. And she also wanted to express her sincere appreciation to all at St. Paul's who have been praying for her and who have sent get well cards and well wishes during her shoulder injury diagnosis and rehabilitation. Lucy Brenneman is recovering from knee replacement surgery. Shirley Brown is recovering from a broken ankle. And this one I received, Richard Dowden, an N at the end, right? Okay, great. He fell and fractured his femur, which, if I remember right, is the upper bone in the leg. Ouch. So prayers for him and as quick a recovery as possible for that. And I think that's all. No, I'm sorry. Prayers, people wanted safe travels. Safe travels for Amy and Tom Glock. And you can ask them later where they're going. All right, so let's take all of this to our Lord in prayer. Almighty God, caretaker of our souls, we come before you today as your beloved children, called to love not just in words, but in deeds and truth. And we offer you our praise and thanksgiving to your holy name for your love and grace that fills our lives. Now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, the apostles testify to your power among the unbelievers. And so we ask that you pour out that same Spirit on us so that we may be faithful witnesses to Christ's power and love. Grant us the courage, the opportunities, and the words to speak so that we can spread this gospel to all in Red Lion and to the entire world. Lord, make us into bringers of your hope. Now your Son, our great good shepherd, sent his followers out to preach and heal. So too make us bearers of that same healing grace so that we may touch those who suffer infirmity of the body, mind, or spirit. Bring them and all of us back into a whole and right relationship with you. And Lord, we also want to lift up our great country to you, and we continue to pray for all of our leaders. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit continue to work on their hearts to transform them into your servants so that they will live and lead in your ways and in your will. And now we'll take a moment here to silently lift up to you the rest of our prayers that remain on our hearts. And we pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who through the Lord's Prayer taught us when to pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we come to the time of our service of the children's message. So may the children come forward, please.
Good morning, guys. How are you? I want to tell you how proud I am that you are here helping this morning, and it kind of goes along with my message that we're going to have this morning. So I'll tie that all together at the end. But today we're going to talk about how Jesus chose his disciples. Jesus chose 12 men to be his disciples. They were normal people with normal jobs, but God had a special plan for them. Jesus taught the disciples the Bible, how to pray and how to obey God. One day, Jesus told his disciples to go out and share his special message with others. They were to go to homes and villages, share the good news, and perform miracles. Jesus told them not to take lots of things with them, but that God would provide everything they needed. The disciples went door to door, telling everyone the wonderful news. Not everyone wanted to listen to them, but many did and put their trust in God. Jesus also wants us to share the good news with others and promise to help the others. So, Jesus chose 12 men to help him so long ago, and he wanted them to go out and spread his message everywhere. Well, today, because even more people follow Jesus, there are probably millions of people who are disciples. And even at your young age, you can be disciples. You're sharing today your gift of collecting the offering, greeting people and saying hello. You are sharing God's message just by being here and having a smile on your face. And I want you to know that just like Jesus tells you and tries to teach you about the Bible and things, we are here to do that. Everyone that's sitting in behind me, we are all here to help you on your faith journey as you get older. So before we pray this morning, though, I want you guys to look back there on the wall. Do you see what's going on back there? Can you guys, Remy, look back there. Look up on the wall. Do you see yourselves up there? So, since we are live streaming, you guys can be seen by the whole congregation now as you sit up here and listen to the message. Isn't that cool? Well, let's say a prayer and then I'll send you guys back because we have to get ready to do another job. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today with us as we try to share your word and as the children are involved in your work by helping during the service. Can help them continue on this path and help them realize that these little things that they do in the service spread your word, and they do it in your way and in your love to share with others. In your name we pray, amen.
No, we don't need that shot, Matt. So we come now to the part of our service where we share our tithes and our offerings. And again, this is a time that we, if not necessarily joyful, then we're serious about this and understanding that we're giving to God and recognition and thanksgiving for all that he does for us. And again, we have the kids doing the offering. So if they stand by you because you gave last week or something, just work with them. Are they ready? They're not ready yet. Okay. I love involving the little ones, because we think it's cute, and it is. To them, it's very important. They feel a little grown up. They feel connected to the church, and now they're ready. Our first reading this morning is from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We're in the fourth chapter, verses 5 through 12. So, Peter and John are exhibiting the power of the Holy Spirit through them, and they just healed somebody, which should be a celebration, right? I mean, if we saw that type of manifestation in this church by anyone, we'd be dancing in the aisle, well, as much as we could move, right? But the church at that time saw them as a threat. And so despite this wonderful, glorious thing, miraculous thing happening, they couldn't celebrate. Instead, they call Peter and John to account for themselves. So the next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? You ever ask a question and then you realize you didn't really want to hear the answer? Well, Peter was very glad they asked that question. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, for being called to count to a, today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and were being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And again, I just want to note, we're going to get to Pentecost in a couple of weeks, which predates this reading in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples. And Peter was never a great speaker, but with the Holy Spirit, he becomes bold and powerful. Now, our epistle reading is from the first letter of John. We're in the third chapter, verses 16 through 24. Again, focus on love, but God's love, agape love. So, the author writes, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. And even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. I ask you to please stand as you're able to sing the Gloria Patri, number 70 in your hymnals. Gospel reading, which comes from the Gospel of John. We're in the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand isn't the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's just a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen." That must have been difficult for them to hear. I mean, heaven help us. From the earliest days of any type of religion, we've always had people who thought that their religion was the only religion. And here's Jesus saying, you know this Jewish pen that we're talking about? Yeah, I got sheep other places too. "I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the word of our Lord, to which we say, thanks be to God, and amen. I ask you to remain standing for our response, or no, to our chorus, "How Great Is Our God."
Thank you.
You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Actions speak louder than words. Talk is cheap. Why don't you put your money where your mouth is? We can go on and on, can't we? We have all kinds of sayings to drive home the point that words are words, and words can be beautiful, they can be powerful, uplifting, but if there isn't something real behind it, then they're empty words, amen? And we even have a word, do we not, for somebody who says one thing and does the opposite, right? We know what that word is, right? Hypocrite. So, who are we as Christians? Are we living our faith in all the easy and hard ways possible? This is what the author of John is getting to when he says, we ought to not just love with words, but in deeds and actions. Powerful words. I want to talk really quickly about hypocrites because it's one of the way overused insults about churches, right? All those churches, they're full of hypocrites. So I wanted to give you, and I do this from time to time, for some of you, I'm reminding you of what I've said. For some of you, you're hearing this maybe for the first time. What's some proper responses as somebody who says churches are full of hypocrites? I think it depends on you, the context, and the person. So I'll give you a couple different ones. The first one, kind of a soft one, is yes, but where else should hypocrites be on Sunday other than church, right? If you know the person really well, and maybe they're a bit of a smart aleck, you can say, yeah, and there's room for one more. Because here's the truth, isn't there? Is there anyone who ever walked the face of the earth other than Jesus, who 100% of the time from birth to death lived up to the philosophies, the words that they espoused? No one. It's our weakness. We're pretty good at it, too. We even have an excuse, especially when we're parents, right? Do as I say, not as I do. No, 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 no. And how does that work? When we watch somebody who is in power or authority or senior to us, somebody that we might even look to as a mentor, and they say that, I mean, you can just about check out at that point, right? Because if you don't live out your words, then your words are hollow, and you must not really fully believe what you are saying. And it's funny how we know this in just about everything else, other aspect of our life, but when we come to our own faith, we like to have a little wiggle room there. There's an argument in the Bible, which is cool, I like. A little disagreement, but it's not really a disagreement. Paul will write, and writes often in his epistles, that we are saved by grace through faith and that alone. And that is absolutely true. You see, what Paul was trying to get to is an age-old, and this is going to seem really weird, an age-old way of seeing things and doing things that we can earn our way to heaven. I can obey enough times. I can do enough good works that I'm saved. Paul realized, A, first of all, it's just not true. We cannot earn our way to heaven. This is why the word deserved is not a word that really should be in our vocabulary or should be used very carefully. Deserves one of those words that human beings love to point at others, but never at themselves. And Paul teaches us from the very get-go that none of us deserve this. But God still loves us. So he was trying to correct something. And to be honest, I still see it. It's still kind of in our society and our cultures across the world. You know, when we get to heaven, you know, St. Peter is there at the pearly gates. I don't even know where that came from. And he's got some kind of scale, right? And he's going to put all our bad deeds on one side and all our good deeds on the other. And if the good deeds just outweigh the bad, we get to heaven. No. See, Paul also knew that if that's the way we do things, then we will do them for all the wrong reasons. If you get to heaven simply because you put money in the collection plate, then you're going to put the money in the collection plate for all the wrong reasons. Or you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, or you're going to be on the leadership team, or you're going to be a pastor. You're going to do it all for the wrong reasons. It's going to be hollow. And believe it or not, God knows what we're thinking and what we're doing, which I always thought should terrify us, right? I remember when it first dawned on me, and I thought it was terrifying. God knows our motives. It's a little scary, isn't it? Now, I also want to let you know that if you start doing something for the wrong reason, but learn to do it for the right reason, we're okay with that. Okay? And really, that's what we want you to do if you can't do it for the right reason right off the bat. But, yeah, if all it took was money in the offering plate, then rich people would be getting to heaven all the time. Amen? So, no, that's not how it works. It's also, by the way, why that story of the widow's mite is so important in the Bible. Because she was lifted up by Jesus because she put a half penny in the... No, because it was so much of her worth, and she was so happy to give it and so thankful for what God had done for her. The right motives, the right reasons, living it out. Even when it's tough, that's another great example of the widow's mite, right? That was almost everything she had in the world at that point. And she still gave it to God. And that gets us a little bit, right? We don't know if we want to argue with that. But she was showing her love. We are called to do the things that we sit in the pews and hear, and the things that we look around and we go, you know, everyone else should be doing that. You know, there's a common thing many preachers hear from one time or another after a service. They're like, you know, Pastor, that was a great sermon, but I wish Joe was here. He needed to hear that. All of Jesus' teachings are about us. Even Paul, when he starts with things, all the hard things like do not judge lest you be judged, love your neighbor, they all start here with us. What are we doing? Are we living out our faith? Are we being Christians that people can look at and go, I want to be like them? Or at least Christians that other people don't go, well, if that's what Christianity's all about, don't be a stumbling block. One great way to not be a stumbling block to others is to try to live up to what we espouse, what we say, to not be a hypocrite, to love not just words. Now notice, we're not throwing out words, right? Words are important. You know, that famous saying that is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, who most likely didn't say it, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. It's almost always necessary, too. So it's an and thing. Going back, so Paul said we are saved by grace through faith and that alone. James comes along and says, I want to make a correction in there. Because my guess is he's watching people take this stuff and say, well, I don't need to do anything to get into heaven except believe, so I'm just going to sit on my butt and do nothing all day long. And James said, but faith without works is dead faith. James's understanding, and it is our understanding of faith too, is when we truly understand and feel and own the love that God gave to us, the grace through the gift of redemption through his son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead to defeat death, that should make us go out and do things. We should actually be hard not to go out and do things and share things for others. And you know what? Doing the right thing for God really is one of the most joyful experiences you'll ever have. Being in the right place at the right time to give the right help to someone. We've all been there, amen? How awesome is that feeling? It's great, isn't it? Well, that's a God feeling. And that's our reward, is that feeling. Because God knows us. He's like, well, I'm going to make them feel really good for doing this so they'll go out and do it again. It's addictive. And it's wonderful. To give a person the help they need, to give them the word of encouragement or support they need, to be in that opportunity and to do it, is exactly what we are called to be as Christians. Now, it can seem a little intimidating to do this. But Pastor, what if I mess up? All right, I got some news for you. You ready for this? You're gonna mess up from time to time. But you know what? It's okay, because that's what we do. And that's the entire Bible is full, with the exception of Jesus Christ, of people who got it wrong from time to time. The Bible is our language of how we talk and understand God. And these real people who worked with God, struggled, and sometimes failed, that's our language to understand. The greatest heroes of the Bible were also some of the worst sinners imaginable. We said this before, right? Two of the greatest people in the Old Testament, Moses and David, they were both murderers. Yeah. Wow. Peter, Paul, the disciples, they all had their stumbles, right? The great Peter, the rock, which I sometimes believe was tongue-in-cheek for Jesus for a while, but also letting him know what he can be. Peter, the rock, who will never, never, never run away from Christ, runs away from Christ. These people fail. You know why they fail? Because they're human. But they get back up. So I want you to know that you're going to fail here and there, but it is okay as long as you are trying and you're learning, right? Okay. There's a saying, and there's multiple ways of saying it, and I can't quote it off the top of my head, but something along the lines of, it's not really a failure when you mess something up if you learn from it and get better. Does that make sense? I remember one of my boys came home with this saying, and I've probably heard it before, but Thomas Edison on failure. Supposedly, Thomas Edison said that he didn't fail 99 times trying to make a light bulb. He found 99 ways not to make a light bulb. That was it. Until he found the 100th when he finally found it. Isn't that a better way to look at some things? Do we learn from our failures? Yes, pick yourself up. And that's a wonderful image of Christ, too. Christ is right there that when we do fall, when we do fail, when we do stumble, even if we mess it up in a royal way, Jesus is right there with a hand to pick us back up and lead us on. So don't be petrified of failing. Okay? I know that's easier said than done. Okay? Because again, this comes from a person that when God said, I want you to be a pastor, I went, ha ha ha, no. Are you crazy? I get it. I do. And I sometimes think that the most certain way to tell that it's God asking you to do something is if it's uncomfortable to do. And pulling you out of your little safe square, right? But God gives us the gifts and talents to go and do. And by the way, have you ever thought of it this way? If you think you're being called to do something, it doesn't have to be a pastor. We're all called to do something. Amy's called to play music. No. Kent is called to serve others through how he helps around the church. Matt's called to keep me in line with the sound and audio. He needs more prayers on that, by the way. But we're called to do something. And by the way, if God calls us to do something, do you believe it's in his plan for us to completely fail and mess it up? No. If he calls you to do something, then he knows that within you, he has given you something to succeed. There's a saying about that one. It says, God doesn't call the equipped, meaning he doesn't always call the people that look like they should be going there and doing that. But what he does is he equips the called. So if he calls you to do something, an usher, a Sunday school teacher, an evangelist, sharing your faith with someone else, inviting your neighbor to come to church, he'll give you the skills to do that. Because all of this is a reminder that Christianity has always been an out and about religion. Jesus, he's always moving in the Bible, amen? Jesus walks over here, he walks over there, he's over here, he's doing this, he's healing, he's getting himself in trouble because he's healing the wrong people. He's out always doing, with an occasional pause for prayer to reconnect to his Father and to be replenished in strength. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. And he has equipped each and every one of us. Now, I will also note in my experience, as I've watched and learned and gotten a little older, is sometimes that equipping changes. As things happen to us and we can't do as much as we used to, we find that God gives us other opportunities and avenues to help and do other people. And by the way, the worst thing I've ever heard anyone ever say, and I hear people say this a lot, about helping people and living out our faith is, well, I can't do much. Why do we put down the little things? My goodness, I think it's the little things that are the most important. How about you? Oh, yes, I mean, big things are good too, you know? We need the Billy Grahams in this world, right? But we need somebody who's going to invite their neighbor to come to church. We need somebody who will visit, people who will pray, people who will write notes. He wants all of us to say our pleases and our thank yous and taking a moment to lift somebody up. Those are simple things to do. I have found that saying thank you to people, especially from the pulpit, thank you, two words, right? Has a powerful uplifting effect. In fact, sometimes I think it's the most powerful thing I can do from the pulpit is say, thank you. I appreciate you. We see what you do. And I think it's not the pulpit, right? I don't think it's this piece of wood. And I don't think it's because I'm a pastor. I think it's because the power are in those words, right? To make someone laugh, to make somebody feel better, to comfort somebody, to put your arm around somebody. Those are so simple and yet so powerful. So don't ever forget the small things. Yes, mission trips are awesome and necessary. Raising funds for Sunday schools and church buildings and all that, all important, but never forget the small things. And if you've gotten to a point in your life that all you can do is pray, I really wish we had a better understanding of how powerful that is. We are connecting in prayer to the creator of the universe. He's the one who made the atoms and spun them. He put the planets in their place, created the cosmos, built the elephant. He did all of these things, and we're like, no, all I can do is, you know, call him and see if he'll help out. Prayer sometimes is like grabbing on to a high voltage wire, you know? But in this time, it doesn't kill us, it helps us. It is powerful and should never be a last resort, should never be, well, I guess that's all I can do. It should be the first thing we do. It should be something we do while we're doing it. And then when we're done, you want to guess what we should do? Pray. Everything should be soaked in prayer. Connecting to God, the most powerful thing in the entire universe, who is willing to give us his strength and power. Okay. So that was a lot of little different pragmatic, practical things for us to do. But I want you to remember at the end, Jesus said, go and do. Go and be me. Spread my message. Make people feel better. Make people feel welcome. Support them. Love them. Now, again, really quickly, love doesn't necessarily mean you like them. Love doesn't mean you support their decisions. It just means that you see in them the seed of God. That we see people and events and opportunities through the eyes of Christ, and we do not care a lick if they deserve it or not, because none of us do, and thus everyone deserves to feel the love of God. Go, be hands, be feet, be a little pinky, be a nose, be an ear. I don't know what part of the body of Christ we all are, but we need all of them. Go out and do and be. And if you fail, pick yourself up. Allow Jesus to pick you up. Dust yourself off. Learn from it and keep going. This is how we make a revival and how we change the world. Amen. So I ask you to please stand as you're able for our closing song, Blessed Be the Name.
Yeah.
Please receive this morning's benediction. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we'll believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we will go out and live out each and every day of our lives. And we pray all this through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all of God's children say, Amen. Amen.